Hi, this is radio personality Bob Cudmore, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Saturday morning. You know, it was a Saturday morning several years ago, maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, when I was in New York and was attending a conference that folks were kind enough to invite me to for radio people. It's kind of this this meet and greet, speed dating almost, if you will, for people in the radio and TV and film industry to meet the folks who want to be guests on our shows or in our newspaper columns and stuff. In other words, all these people in media and print will be out there, and then there are folks who've written books or who have other things that they want to push or get across, and they want to get on TV and radio and in magazines and newspapers. And so for a minute and a half, 2 minutes, you'll talk to person after person after person, and then if there's a fit, if you match well, you have a guest who will eventually come on your show. So I've been going to these twice a year for a couple of years now, several years now. And one of the very first ones I went to, one of my cohorts, one of my colleagues, was a fellow named Bob Cudmore, who has this instantly recognizable, deep and wonderful radio voice, very gentle and kind, nice man that I got to know and I look forward to seeing every time I'm in New York and at one of these conferences. There's Bob, and sometimes we've done lunch together, and Bob has had this very cool radio career. He's been in the game for about 50 years. His last 10 years have been doing the morning show on WVTL out of upstate New York. And Bob, after all these years, has decided finally to end the show. He's going to be calling it quits at the end of next week. On Friday will be his last program after 10 years on that radio station, after 50 years of programming, although there may still be some more from him in the weeks and years to come on different kind of media. So, with all that said, please welcome both radio host and, by the way, author, back to the neighborhood, Bob Cudmore. Welcome, Bob.
Well, thank you, Dave. I feel like you've told the whole story, so you have a good day.
Sorry about that endless introduction. I just got rolling, and it never stopped. But it is true. Well, your career got rolling, what, 50 years ago, and it was more... Was it TV first, or was it radio?
No, I started in radio in 1962.
Oh, my God.
In the same city, in this little city of Amsterdam, New York.
Wow.
At the other station in Amsterdam, as opposed to the one I'm at now. But I started when I was in high school. I used to work on Sundays, and then I worked Saturdays, and I did the fill-in. And I tried to sneak in rock and roll music.
Ha!
I remember... One time, this is probably way before your time. Do you ever hear the Angels and My Boyfriend's Back?
Oh, My Boyfriend's Back, and I'm going to get... it was before
got
my
it,
time.
Got it.
I know
so
the song.
I was playing My Boyfriend's Back one day when I was filling in during the week, big time, on WCSS it was. And the owner and the manager came in. His name was Phil Spencer. And he was a really hard-nosed but wonderful mentor.
Mm.
He said, Bob, do you like that record? I said, well, yes, I do like it very much, Mr. Spencer. He said, take it home. I don't ever want to hear it again.
Oh. Okay. Well, 1962. And it's funny. That was just before the British invasion really changed everything. Rock and roll was kind of on the outs a bit.
Yes. We were playing older music then. But, that's when I started and went off to Boston to a college, Boston University.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I was working. And that's what... This just came to mind because I met this young man who's working out at Boston University Radio, as they call it now. The Boston University radio stations is this really big boffo NPR affiliate. They originate a lot of shows. In fact, their first one that they originated for the NPR network, it was recently in the news, and that was Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers, Car Talk.
Oh, wow.
And Car Talk the Elder
Just died a couple of days ago, yeah.
But when I worked out...
His engine conked, yeah.
But I was one of the first people to work at WBUR when it became, quote-unquote, professional. Before that, it was a student station.
Sure.
And you could work there if you were a student at BU, but it didn't seem like such a big deal because back in 1963, 64, 65, not many people had FM radios, so it didn't seem like the big thrill I should have thought it was.
Well, it wasn't until everybody got FM in the later 60s and it became freeform and truly devoted to deep cut rock and roll. But what were you doing at, were you playing rock at BUR?
No, I did talk shows.
Oh.
At WBUR. I did rock at WTBU, which is the, you know, the campus radio station, went into the dormitories. In fact, I would say still the most famous radio alumni of BUR, Howard Stern, who was at, you know, he was after me, he's younger than me, and also Bill O'Reilly went there as well. But WBUR, I was doing talk once a week. We did a show called Conference Call, and I did that like maybe 66 or so. And then when they went quote-unquote professional, and they were just sort of trying to figure out what to do, they brought in a fellow named Will Lewis as the general manager, and he had the brilliant idea, and it really was a brilliant idea, that the Boston newspapers went on strike. So we had them come, had the reporters, we invited the reporters, he kind of opened the house up. He said, anybody who wants to come who's not working because you're on strike, come in tonight to WBUR and talk about the news. So they were on 5 hours a night talking about the news. And when the strike ended, he had me produce and host this hour-long news show every night called Newspaper of the Air. And I guess the maybe somewhat amusing point that I'm driving at is they had no money at WPUR. And so Will Lewis knew that my wife, who was alive at the time, was a typing teacher. He said, well, I can pay Mary, but I can't pay you. So I'll pay her, and you do the Newspaper of the Air.
Okay.
Cool. And it was $35 a week.
Oh, a week?
Yeah.
Well, that's still more than I get now sometimes. But
I know, me too.
Now, were you still a student at Boston U while all this was happening?
I finished my, I had just finished my undergraduate degree, and I hung right in for a graduate degree because, you know, this was Vietnam War time. And
oh, yeah.
There's a certain advantage to staying in college. So,
and then you stayed with BUR, and did you stay in media the whole time, or did you have day jobs in the 70s, 80s, 90s?
No, I was a college student, but then I got my first regular full-time radio job at a little station in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Nice.
It's across the river from Boston. You know, it's WCAS. I think it still exists. And there was an AM station, and we covered local news of these little, not they aren't necessarily little, but these, Boston's an interesting city in that it's formed of all these different cities.
Yeah.
Boston's Boston, but there's Watertown, Cambridge, Arlington, Somerville. So this station tried to target its news to those cities, and I covered Somerville, which was a notorious organized crime capital at the time, but I knew nothing of it. You know, I was going to this coffee shop on Broadway, and I didn't realize that out back a man named Vinny Teresa was roughing up the people and so forth, and I was covering the dog leash law or something like that. I never was too observant as a reporter.
And which is why you are still with us, Bob. How old are you, by the way?
I am 68, about to become 69.
Oh, so you've got some years ahead of you. I don't want to leap ahead, but why retire, as it were, from this 10-year gig of the morning show?
Okay, I wanted to do the 10 years, for one thing.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, I don't want to do another winter, because I live about 20 miles from the radio station.
Uh-huh.
And the kind of program I do, I mean, I would do, you know, as you asked what if I would do more in the future, I would do less strenuous radio.
Sure.
But this, you know, as somebody told me once about radio in general, but certainly, you know, doing the morning show at a community station, it's not a job, it's a crusade. You know, I have to make sure that I'm there every morning if possible, you know, do the school closings and things like that.
Closings would be rather interesting medical kind of a show, yeah.
That's right, school closings would. So anyway, that's the deal. But the main thing is the driving up there, and also, you know, doing the job does take up a lot of time. And I do have a couple of other media interests. I write a history column for one of the local papers up here, and I have done in the past some TV documentaries about local history, and it's sort of become my niche, if you will. So I hope to continue local history, and
Well, I mean, yeah, nothing's easier than that. That you just set up a microphone, you know, get a digital recorder, and boom. You know,
it's, VR. I understand you've done it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I do some podcasting here, and every program that I do on Dave's Gone By is ultimately recorded, and unless we lose it for technical difficulties, which happens. But here's one thing I want to ask you. I didn't realize that you also at one point were late night. You did some overnights. How's it different?
Maybe I misspoke, but I did late night. I did, when I was at my biggest gig, really, I mean, not counting Boston, where I did work at a, you know, several stations, including one called WEEI, which was like a player in the market. But I usually would work hours that nobody would be listening to the radio, you know, huh. I would do. But it's in my home area. I worked at a station called WGY for 13 years doing the nighttime talk show. It varied from time to time.
Oh, so it wasn't late night. It was more like 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, I was on 8 to midnight, or I was on 7 to 11, and for a while I was on 6 till 9. You know, but, you know, different hours.
So how is it different? I'm sorry?
It's very good time for radio. You know, it was then. This was the 80s.
Okay.
And you know, talk radio was still a lot local. I mean, there were a lot of me's around the country. I remember Milton Metz down in Louisville, and I talked to Tom Bowerly out in Buffalo, because we would sometimes link our shows together and, you know, do like crosstalk.
Oh, nice.
I call it. But, you know, the direction that the medium was taking at that time was syndication, you know, for cost. And we had great ratings, but that was, you know, an era that was ending because there were just developing more stations and there was more competition for the ears, not the eyeballs. We don't do much with the eyeballs in radio, but we were interested in the ears.
Actually, if you're doing podcasts and websites now, you better be. That's the difference, you know. Hey, can I ask, in all the 5 decades now that you've been doing media, and especially radio, do you have any particularly fond memories, favorite either interviews or favorite radio moments?
A favorite radio moment. Well, this is going to sound odd, but okay. One of my favorite radio moments was a snowstorm when I was working at WTY. It was, now I can't even remember the exact year, I think it was 1987, or else it was 84, and it was in early October up here in upstate New York when we had what we call the day the trees fell down. I mean, now it seems we have worse weather than we've ever had, but this was an early snowstorm, caught everybody off guard, the power went out all over this area, you know, the capital district of upstate New York. But WGY stayed on the air, you know, first maybe with generator power, but, you know, got its electric power back. And we were the main medium for people at night, you know, especially when, you know, darkness fell.
Yeah.
People sitting out in their homes and so forth. So when I would walk into the studio at night, the phones would be ringing, always, constantly ringing. People were calling to complain, and I believe you might say kvetch, and also they were asking, like, where can I get bottled water, you know, how can I get more gasoline for the generator, and this, and things like that. We brought in psychologists and religious people and the electric utilities, and this went on as long as the power outage went on, you know, for like a whole week, and for the longest time after that, maybe even still, people said, you know, people who never listened to the radio before listened that week.
Right, yeah. Well, that'll happen when we have blackouts or here, out in Colorado. I'll throw on the local news talk station, which I usually won't listen to because it's pretty right-wing and I'm not that into listening to talk radio unless it's real funny. So, but hey, lights go out or some big storm happening and we've got the candles out and the flashlights around, boom, on goes that radio station.
And it's interesting you mentioned, I mean, that's how news talk radio has gone. It's gone in a very right-wing direction. And the interesting thing is I'm not, you know, I'm sort of a left winger, you know, or more moderate. And that was one of my problems working at WGY, because they were going, and not only was that they were going to more syndication, they were also going more right wing. You know, they didn't want somebody like me who maybe thought there was some merit in what Jimmy Carter did or what
Mondale
had to say. So that was all, but back then, common to have a more liberal host or a more congenial host, I think you could say.
Yeah.
I remember one of my old friends who passed away, who I worked with at WGY, was basically a DJ, but he was a major radio personality, a guy named Harry Downey. I remember, I don't know if we'd had drinks or something like that, but we're sitting around talking. He goes, Bobby, I don't understand this business of being a shock jock. I always wanted to be liked. I wanted to be liked.
Yeah, let me ask, speaking of that kind of thing, where you mentioned that you were kind of squeezed out of a radio station slowly because you were the wrong, politically on the wrong side to an extent, the wrong type of host that they were looking for. But did you ever have that thing that people of long band radio have, where you're on a station, the format flips overnight, and either you had to change completely your show, or they walk you out the door on a Friday? Country 105 or something like that, you know, overnight, literally, and a couple of DJs will take the bait. They say, hey, I need the paycheck.
Yeah.
Boom, I can introduce this song as well as I can introduce another song, depending on the
kind
of station.
We all love it, you know, in radio, in a way. I was just talking to my colleague I work with, Dave Green, and I don't know, we were just talking about something we're going to do tomorrow because we have a few days left doing the show together. And, and he said, well, that's one thing about being in radio, you don't watch the clock. And I said, well, look, I watch the clock because I have to do time checks. But he said, well, that's not what I mean. So.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask, we're airing this Saturday. You'll have another week after this because you're on until, well, your last day is what, the 14th? Something like
14th
that?
14th of November.
14th of November. Do you have any plans for your Friday show, that last one?
Well, the night, day before, these friends of mine who are musicians are going to have a Bob Gutmore concert.
Oh.
Not quite sure what that's going to be, but I'm just letting it unfold because...
Wait, the concert will be on the air during your shift.
On the air. They're going to come in. They're guitarists. They're kind of folky musicians, and they're going to come in and sing, and I think they've got some, as they say, surprises planned for me. But I've been doing, reading the letters of things that people, send in and so forth. And my boss has been very good about that. A lot of times, that's the last thing they want to hear on the radio, and they just soon you're out the door. But
Under other circumstances, but I think you're a pretty well-loved figure in Amsterdam. You've had that radio show for 10 years. You're leaving of your own volition. You're not leaving because management is saying, you're asking for too much money or we're changing. No, you're saying, I'm getting older, I don't want to drive 20 miles in the morning at whatever, 4 a.m., that you probably have to do 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Have you even thought about doing a weekly weekend show or something like that?
Oh, sure. We'll see what happens. But, right now I do have my other kind of writing gigs, and I've started to do talks local history. And we'll see what happens, again, the other issue, maybe unsaid on my part, in addition to the weather and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I had to mention this to you before. I mean, this show is so time-consuming. It's 4 hours a day on the air, and it's probably 4 hours a day preparing it. And, then I've got these other little, the newspaper columns and so forth. And some years back, or during that 10 years, for maybe 6 or 7 of those years, I also taught. I used to teach media.
Oh, at SUNY, right?
I worked for SUNY as a full-time job for a while, but I taught at a college called the College of St. Rose that offers a media program.
By the way, for folks who have never heard Coffee with Cudmore, is it still called Coffee with Cudmore, or just
Coffee
the Bob Cudmore?
Cudmore, yes.
Yeah. So for the next week, next five days. One of the reasons Bob is saying that isn't just an easy thing. It's not like he sits there, goes to commercial, plays a song, back announces it, and boom. You have it's essentially a talk show with a little bit of music. So every 10, 15 minutes, you have a different guest. So you got to prepare all that.
I'm a guest. We've been having some technical issues, so I did not use as many guests this past week or so. But we're, you know, we're slowly but surely getting out of that problem. But yeah,
imagine doing a show for, you know, 4 hours a day for 10 years, 5 days a week, and you've got to talk to 7, 8 different people every single morning and prepare and have something to say to them. Not just so I don't know who you are. What do you do? You know. That takes work. It really does.
Yeah.
And you do it superbly well, I have to say.
It's been very enjoyable.
And you have a book. Let's make sure we push your book.
Yes, well, I have 3 books.
Oh, excuse me.
And my oldest book is called You Can't Go Wrong. It's a bit of upstate New York humor. Then I have 2 history books, which are more recently published. One is called Stories from the Mohawk Valley, and the second one, Hidden History of the Mohawk Valley. And I go out to, like, historical groups and so forth and tell some of these tales, like about the baseball oracle, a man who correctly predicted the outcome of 30 baseball games in 1930 for the St. Louis Cardinals, of all things. But he lived up in Ontario.
Did they lose all those games something to zero? I mean, that would help. He paid them to just swing and miss relentlessly. So at least he always got it half right.
Yeah, well, that's true. Right a lot.
So, by the way, people can still go to bobcudmore.com, C-U-D-M-O-R-E, bobcudmore.com, to keep apprised of not just the next week of your radio show, but really your writings, your columns, what's happening with you, etc., and so forth.
And that's where the history podcast is, because I started it some months ago as part of my radio show, and I'm hoping to continue it now when the radio show ends. But we have about, any given time, I have archived like 8 to 10 of them on the website.
Do you think you're going to be bored in the mornings now?
I don't know. I think instead of getting up at 3, I'll get up at 5 or 6.
Whoa, 5. Oh, yeah. Boy, you Sybarite, you.
Yeah, I know. I'm a Sybarite.
And by the way, you know, Bob mentioned that early on, years ago, you were talking about your wife, Mary. She passed a decade or so ago. You have another person in your life. You had the lovely and amazing Audrey.
That's right. Audrey. Miss Audrey is my companion, yes, indeed.
Miss Audrey. And so do you have any, like, vacation plans for your first week? Something cool you've always wanted to do, and now you've got 8 hours a day that you didn't have before?
Well, one of the things we're going to do is a family with my children and her sister and Audrey and I. We're going to New Orleans for Thanksgiving.
Woo!
Don't ask. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know. I'm like the only, there's only 2 of us, I think, in this whole group, and I'm one of them who's never been to New Orleans. Audrey loves it. My daughter likes it.
It's a great city.
Yeah, so, and I don't know. I don't believe that it had much to do with the pilgrims and Turkey down there, but we're going there for Thanksgiving.
That's right. It's Marty Giving. Or thanks, Graw. So, are you a foodie?
Well, I eat a lot. I eat way too much, but I wouldn't call myself a foodie. I don't really know that much about it.
Well, if you like to eat too much, New Orleans is a wonderful place for you. Believe
me. Well, that's what everybody tells me.
Yeah, fabulous restaurants and stuff, and just great. I mean, you don't have to get involved in the craziness. It's still just an amazing place to visit and walk around and enjoy the atmosphere, you know. And carry 1 or 2 strings of beads, just in case.
I will. I'll throw them out to people.
So it has been a real joy talking to Bob Cudmore. Certainly not the last time we're going to talk to you. I mean, when you have book number 4 going, or more is happening with the podcast, we'll get you back on here. But it just really remains for me to say congratulations on 10 years on WBTL. Congrats on, you know, on stepping away when you want to. Because you want to, which is not always the case for people.
No, it's not always the case with me. They used to say, out the door before you hit the floor.
Exactly. Well, yeah, but you've got many, many years before you hit the floor, Bob Cudmore. Sorry about that rhyme. But any Any goals over the past 10, over the next 10, 20, 30 years, beyond just keeping doing what you're doing in more columns and stuff like that?
Yeah, my goal is to try to stay healthy. As I see, you know, as you get older, you think more about that.
Are you reasonably...
Well, I'm reasonably healthy.
I mean, I know for a while you had some hip issues and were walking kind of with difficulty, but you seem better.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of tipped. It's the thing. But as you get older, you think about these things more. And you're probably saying to yourself, well, I'm older now, but...
Oh, I think about that. Things are happening to me, man.
Yeah.
The body goes. It betrays you. It goes after you. But it hasn't touched your mind or your voice at this point. So
I don't have the geezer voice. I'll probably develop it at some point, but not right now.
Well, it again has been a delight catching up once again with Bob Cudmore. You've got one more week, folks, to listen live every weekday morning, Monday through Friday next week, to Coffee with Cudmore until his very last show on Friday morning. It's from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time on WVTL. Well, what's WVTL.org, is it, or what?
Yes, WVTLFM.com.
I was totally wrong. WVTLFM.com. 6 to 10 Eastern, which puts it at 4 a.m. No wonder when you get me on your show, I'm like half dead. Because it's like 6 a.m. here. But it's been a pleasure being on your show, and always a thrill to have you on mine. So thank you for all you've done for radio and for being in the neighborhood. And best of luck with the future.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Bob. Bye-bye now.